What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm telling you, Stephen Miller's wife, Katie Miller, has had a weird obsession with Elon Musk for a few months now. She even left her job at the White House to go work full-time under Elon Musk and help book his interviews, go work at SpaceX. She ingratiated herself full-time in Elon Musk's sphere, and now she interviewed Elon on her newest podcast as she tries to enter the media world. She hasn't done very well in the combative environments like on Abby Phillips' show or Piers Morgan's show. Both times, she seems to be very easily shaken up when she's pressed or given any sort of pushback. But in an easy softball interview with Elon Musk, she's able to relax a little bit more. And relax she did. It really does seem like she took on a unique vibe with Elon Musk in this interview, and it was rather cheeky. I mean, Elon Musk gets a lot of praise from Katie Miller. Just remember, a few months back, Stephen Miller's wife left the White House to work for Elon full-time. The wife of Stephen Miller, President Donald Trump's chief policy head, has reportedly left the White House to work for Elon Musk. At the time, there were a lot of rumors that they had a crush on each other. I didn't really talk about it. It's kind of childish and dumb. But just listen to the way, look at the way they talk to each other in this clip, and then we'll go on to Elon Musk nuking his own DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, and talking about his tenure in the Trump admin. Make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe. And just notice how they're talking in this clip. It's a little bit lovey-dovey.
What's the biggest misconception about you?
I don't know. How would I know? What do you think?
I think it's... I get asked this a lot when I do interviews about you.
Me?
Oh, everyone always thinks you're a very difficult person to work for.
Oh.
But I think you're very kind.
I feel like he's really awkward. Like, he's not biting, but she starts throwing a lot of compliments at him.
Everyone always thinks you're a very difficult person to work for.
Oh.
But I think you're very kind.
Thanks.
And people think you are like a very demanding boss. I think that you are, I've never heard you yell at any employee.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think every employee who works at every single one of your companies is incredibly mission-driven, which is unlike any other workplace I've ever seen. Like, Starbase is the most inspirational place you'll ever go to.
Right.
Everyone is there to work on a singular goal. And so I think, to me, the biggest misconception about you is how every employee at all of your companies are fiercely loyal because it's all mission-driven. And you are a very good employer to work for.
The woman who helped Elon Musk with PR across multiple of his companies is now speaking in a nice way about the companies publicly in a PR-friendly way. I mean, none of this is real.
And I think people assume you're not.
Right. Well, why would they think anyone would work at the companies? Yeah. Talented people can go work anywhere they want. So they're only going to work at one of my companies if they want to, and if they're mistreated in some way, they would leave.
Okay, Katie Miller clearly has a lot of respect for Elon Musk, at the very least, even beyond her asking him, what's the biggest misconception people have about you? Even beyond all of that, beyond Elon Musk's Star Wars meme shirt and Stephen Miller's wife essentially gushing over Elon Musk, I want to continue by showing you how Elon talks about Somali Americans in this interview and Doge in just one moment. Take a listen to this clip.
When people say like this is fake, I'm like, actually, well, let's look at Ilhan Omar, who was voted into power, voted into Congress by a large group of people from Somalia.
By American voters?
Who are in Minnesota, which is really far from Somalia. Or Mamdani, who...
By American voters?
Was voted as to be mayor. But by a majority of people who are not born in America.
That's not even true. What a wildly made up stat. I can't find this anywhere. The idea that the majority of people who voted for Zohran weren't even born in the United States. He's saying like 55, 60, 70% of Zohran voters weren't born in the US. What are you talking about, dude? What is true, what I did find, is that Zohran had a lot of young voters, a lot of younger people, and people who were newer to New York City, who only lived there for a few years, but not people who didn't live in the USA. Mehdi Hasan points out Elon Musk, a South African immigrant born in Africa who votes in Texas and who spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars influencing the US election in 2024, is now annoyed that Somali immigrants born in Africa get to vote in Minnesota. There's only one thing he doesn't have in common with his fellow African immigrants in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's my understanding, at least.
It's his skin color, by the way.
And then California is a big time situation. So I don't know. We just don't want to turn into a communist hellhole, basically.
Really intellectual, really politically superior mind out here. Barely can even get through a sentence because he's probably high on ketamine, maybe, allegedly. But a few things I want to point out about this clip in particular. Notice how Elon Musk is also launching into attacks against Ilhan Omar. Just last night at a rally, Donald Trump had his entire crowd, the entire crowd chanting, "Send her back, send her back," about Ilhan Omar as Donald Trump made fun of her hijab over and over and over. And now Elon Musk, the richest man on the earth, along with the president of the United States, is attacking Ilhan Omar. There's some dark shit coming when we have people at the highest levels. I mean, the dark shit's already here, but they're in a coordinated way now trying to target individual, particular minority congresswomen and trying to say, get her out. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Don Jr., all of these people in a coordinated manner in the same 24-hour span are saying crazy, crazy shit. Also, Elon Musk is mad that U.S. citizens are exercising their right to vote, that people who moved here, that went through the proper processes and are here legally, are now exercising their right to vote. I like how Jennifer Welch describes Elon.
It's wild how rural America, like, they believe that land, you know, votes, and they don't understand that they're being taxed at a higher rate than somebody like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, who I want to remind everybody that's against immigration, is a fucking immigrant. I just think it's really important that we remind everybody all the time that Elon Musk is a fucking immigrant that doesn't pay taxes, who is a parasite off the American taxpayer.
Very well said from Jennifer Welch, as always. I want to jump over and watch one final clip of Elon Musk talking about his DOGE, his Department of Government Efficiency, that was an abject failure by every single indicator. Every indicator, they failed. They have caused deaths worldwide. They way undershot all of their targets, and it was awful. But Elon Musk has a different retelling of the DOGE story.
Someone on the internet said, no, it should be the Department of Government Efficiency, DOG. I'm like, that sounds great. So we just kind of made up a department.
Do you think you were successful?
We're a little bit successful. We were somewhat successful. We stopped a lot of funding for that really just made no sense. That was just entirely wasteful.
I love it. He knows it was a failure. Listen to his answer. He can't even say it was successful. He has to say it was a little bit successful, somewhat successful. He knows deep down that they way undershot all of their targets. For example, even if we were so charitable and put aside the original $2 trillion reduction goal, Elon then promised a $1 trillion reduction. Okay, we'll be charitable as well. We'll put that aside. Elon then said $250 billion will be saved, and that will be a long-term reduction that will help United States citizens, and they will reshape everything. Wrong. They then ended up saying about $140 billion were saved, but the New York Times went into that, and they found out the DOGE ledger was just riddled with error after error after error. They claimed to have saved hundreds of billions of dollars in, like, zombie payments, but it was false. They claimed to have saved a bunch of payments that weren't actually going on. It was all wrong. It was all based on a misunderstanding. Remember when all of the young DOGE dudes, like 19, the 21-year-old, I'm only 23, but I'm not elevating myself to government positions in order to look through everyone's personal data. I know my limitations. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not. But all these young dudes were looking through people's data, and they had this quote-unquote eureka moment. But it was like a fake eureka moment where they said, oh, my God, Social Security has thousands, tens of thousands of people logged that are dead. These are dead people. And then they took it, and they took it to the news, and then they reported it. And someone who worked in the administration, the Social Security administration, was like, listen, this is literally just a mechanism so we have some sort of record of old people who are no longer in the system. Like, it was all there for a specific reason, for record keeping and for data collection. And Elon Musk's Doge group didn't know that. So they thought they had this huge breakthrough where they saved us billions and billions of dollars per year. Then they all had to kind of walk it back, but they never really did walk it back.
That was just entirely wasteful. Where it were, like, for example, there was probably 100, maybe $200 billion worth of zombie payments per year.
None of this was true whatsoever. But I'm going to leave that there. If you appreciate the videos we make on the Adam Mockler channel, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you on the next one. Peace out.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.